The text for the sermon this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul was being attacked by false apostles, by false ministers of Christ who were troubling the church of God in Corinth. These false ministers and apostles wanted to destroy Paul's credibility. They tried to assassinate his character so that people would lose trust in him and turn away from the truth of God which he taught. And then they could teach their lies in Corinth and undermine the work of God. And at the same time, they could become rich and even famous. That is how false ministers of Christ and false apostles operate. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to defend himself. He is a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a faithful minister of the Lord. It is ridiculous to believe the lies of these false apostles and to stray from the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard for Paul to defend himself because he is humble. He would rather not say anything about himself. But he must defend himself and the truth of the gospel of Christ. The church always needs to be able to distinguish between true ministers of Christ and the hirelings, the false ministers of Christ, because the scriptures tell us that savage wolves will always seek to come into the church of the Lord Jesus and scatter and even destroy the sheep, not sparing the flock. Paul writes in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, and he tells the elders of the church of God in Ephesus, men will rise up even from within the church, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Peter tells us that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and often works through lying teachers, false ministers of Christ, who infiltrate the church of God to destroy the flock, to scatter the church, to tear it apart. False ministers have always been around, and we are called as the people of God to be discerning. False ministers are proud, arrogant, self-willed, self-centered, self-promoting, self-commending, self-aggrandizing. A true minister of Christ is humble. Apart from Jesus Christ, no one was nobler. No one was more influential. No one had a wider effect and impact on the church in the first century than the Apostle Paul. And yet when Paul speaks of himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he called himself an earthen vessel. He writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 7, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul describes himself further in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. One of the most important graces of the true minister of Christ is humility. The Lord tells us in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 8, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Humility is lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to God's holy will. Humility is knowing that you are completely unworthy of God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace, and that what you are and that what you have received from the Lord only by His grace and by His mercy to you. Every true minister of Christ is humble. That is one of the marks of a true minister of Christ. A true minister of Christ is called and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, a true minister of Christ builds up the church. Third, a true minister of Christ has compassion for people. False teachers use and abuse and manipulate people for their own ends. The true minister of Christ has a heart overflowing with love and tenderness toward the people of God. Fourth, the true minister of Christ does not use worldly methods. Fifth, the true minister of Christ is marked by integrity. He is the same person whether present or absent. False teachers are one thing in front of the congregation, something else the rest of the time. And this morning we consider a sixth mark of the true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. The false ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ are self-promoting, self-commending, and self-exalting. They commended themselves. They praised themselves. They measured themselves by themselves. They boasted beyond what they had a right to boast about. They took credit for other men's labors. They were not interested in giving the Lord the glory and the credit. They did not seek the approval of God, but they sought the approval of men. Paul, on the other hand, is a true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is humble. He shows his humility in several ways. First, humility makes the true servant of Christ unwilling to compare himself with others. A false minister of the Lord Jesus elevates himself. He often does that by speaking ill of other servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts those around him down and steps on them so that he can climb up on top. He wants everybody to know that he is better than this person, he is better than that person, he is better than the other person. No one is as good as he is. Everyone else has some problem and is not good. Here the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." Paul does not dare to class himself or compare himself with those who commend themselves and say that we are better than everyone else. Paul is saying, I'm not going to play that game. Do not expect me to come to Corinth and tell you that I'm better than everybody else. Do not expect me to defend myself using their criteria by which they commend themselves. I dare not class or compare myself with people who commend themselves. False teachers and false ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ like their name in the lights. They want to promote themselves. They want to elevate themselves. They want their picture on everything. They want their name highlighted. Whatever it takes to get them into the light, they do. Whatever it takes to elevate them, they will do. Whether it means assaulting and belittling the Apostle Paul or anyone else. They will slander anyone. Proud, self-commending, false ministers of Christ will do that. They will assault and they will attack anybody who stands in their way. That is why they were attacking the Apostle Paul in Corinth. They will eagerly destroy someone else to elevate themselves. But the Apostle Paul will not. He refuses to engage in their childish games of congratulating self and praising self and commending self. Using their glib tongues and self-confidence and hypocritical personality, they made themselves appear superior to everybody else, including Paul, and especially Paul. Paul refused to play on their field. Paul refused to fight with their weapons. False ministers of Christ operate out of very proud hearts. They love to have the preeminence. They love the popularity. They love the star status. They love to see their name in print. They love to see their picture, their face in the public view. The false ministers of Christ in Corinth were self-willed, proud, arrogant, self-promoters, passionately seeking recognition. Paul refused to promote himself and refused to glory in himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Paul is saying, It does not matter how other people judge me. It does not even matter that I judge myself, because even when I find nothing bad or wrong in myself, that is not what justifies me. Only what God thinks of me matters. For the Lord reveals the heart. The Lord brings to light the hidden things of darkness. The standard of false ministers of Christ is themselves. How can you not meet that standard? Paul says in verse 12, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul is saying, can you think of anything more foolish than that? Can you think of anything more irrational than that? This mutual self-admiration society is making up its own standards by which it proudly proclaims itself superior to everybody else. It would be one thing if there were an external, objective standard by which everybody could be evaluated, but they invent the standard, meet the standard they have invented, and then proclaim themselves superior. They develop their own standard, their own measurement, their own rule. Their standard was persona, presence, ethos, charm, charisma, authority, bearing, impressive speech, oratory, rhetoric, spiritual experiences, signs, power, success. They were triumphalists, self-centered. That was their standard. They invented it. They measured themselves by it. And in their own minds, they succeeded so greatly that they commended themselves above Paul and above everybody else. Paul's not going to play that game. When you ask Paul for his credentials, he will give you this list. Sadness, tears, weakness, infirmities, simplicity, suffering, prison, pain, persecution, all for the love of Christ. His standard was Christ. His standard was objective and external. Theirs was subjective and internal. When the Apostle Paul gives the credentials for his apostleship, he does not give a litany of his successes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. How do we know that? How do we know that, Paul? Paul continues in verse 23, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. That's not exactly the credentials that the false ministers of Christ boast in. Paul says, I'm not going to play on that field. I'm not going to boast in that blind, foolish, self-commending way. They are just completely foolish. Paul says in verse 12, they are not wise. Only a fool would measure himself against a self-created standard and then declare himself superior to everybody else. The self-centered and the self-satisfied are always self-deceived. So Paul says, I'm not going to compete with them. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to compare myself with those puffed up, arrogant, false ministers of Christ and battle with them over standards they have invented themselves. The truth is that by their pride and self-commendation, based upon standards they themselves invented, they have made it very clear that they are void of character, void of truth, and void of wisdom. We see the Apostle Paul's humility in his unwillingness to compare himself with others. People who compare themselves with others are proud. Humble people never make those kinds of comparisons, never. The true standard is external and objective. The true minister of Christ knows that the standard is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he never meets it. He always knows that he is inferior to Christ. To discuss who is the greatest is pointless because he sees himself as the chief of sinners. A second way that the Apostle Paul shows his humility in this passage is in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the canon, that means the rule or the standard, which God has distributed to us, a measure which especially includes you. Paul will only boast according to the measure of the rule which God has meted out to us. A measure which especially includes the Corinthians. Paul's ministry is defined and it is limited by God, and therefore Paul's boasting is limited and defined by God. False ministers of Christ do not want anybody putting limits on their work, on their influence, on their place of service and ministry. Self-styled messiahs are always obsessed with their own power and their own importance, especially in dominating and oppressing others. Their sense of mission has no limitation short of conquering the world and conquering it now. The slightest signal that their efforts are being frustrated, they usually respond with rage and madness. If you try to harness a false minister of Christ, he becomes angry. When you try to confine the influence of a false minister of Christ, he becomes enraged because he does not want the insatiable desire of his own power and his own importance to be limited. The true minister of Christ humbly ministers within the measure of the rule that God gives him. He is content in the sphere that God gives him. False ministers of Christ have no limits to their sphere. They have no limits to their claims. They have no limits to their boasts. They overextend everything. In an effort to widen their influence, in an effort to gain greater prestige, greater fame, greater fortune, they will not have any limitation. They reject the measure of the rule which God has distributed to them. They overstate their giftedness. They overstate their influence. They overstate their impact. They overstate their achievement. They overstate their sphere of ministry. They puff everything up. They inflate everything until it appears to be far greater than it is. They take the credit for it. And if you try to stop the expansion, they want to steamroll you. They're insatiable, energized by the kingdom of darkness, which wants to engulf everything. When the false apostles and ministers of Christ came to the church of God at Corinth, they presented the Corinthians with a rather amazing assessment of their prior impact and influence. They must have given some kind of grand story about what they had done somewhere else. Who knows what they said? They portrayed themselves as more powerful persons than the Apostle Paul, more erudite than Paul, greater orators than Paul, better to look upon than Paul, more successful than the Apostle Paul, with greater influence than Paul ever had. They said they were the ones who had the credentials, not him. They had the letters of commendation, and he did not. They paraded a lot of lies to make their case. What is Paul going to do? Is he going to try to fight on that ground? Is he going to come in and try to match that lie for lie? Paul will not do that. He says in verse 13, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure." He says, "I will not do that. I will not say anything that is not true about me, about my giftedness, about the impact of my ministry, about its successes. I will say nothing beyond measure. Nothing without measure. I have ministered within the measure of the canon, the confines, the sphere which God has distributed to me. I will tell you what I have done in serving my Savior as an apostle to the Gentiles, but I will not go beyond that. I will not say anything more than what Christ by His grace has enabled me to do as His bondservant. I will not say more than is accurate." Paul told the accurate truth about his own heart, knowing that he was weak, sinful, inadequate, inept, struggling, downcast, sad, and yet triumphant at the same time. He never boasts about more than the Lord accomplished through him. False teachers do. They make you think that they are so great and so powerful and so far-reaching and so influential. Paul never boasted beyond measure. But within the measure of the canon, or the sphere which God apportioned to us, a measure which especially includes you. He is saying, "I do not want to say anything other than the truth about myself, the truth about my ministry, and I want to stay within the measure of the canon or the sphere, that is the area where the Lord has placed me, where God has apportioned to me a measure of service in His church and in His kingdom." The Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly gifted the Apostle Paul and granted him a field of service. He was granted an area. He was granted a field to labor in, and that is where he stayed. That is where he labored. He never went outside of that. In Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people." He's recounting what the Lord told him. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The Lord Jesus Christ sent the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish peoples of the world. And Paul says in Romans 15, verses 18 through 21, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand." Paul is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ sent me to the Gentiles. And that is where I have gone. And I will not go beyond it. And I will not speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in that field of service. He was faithful. He rejoiced in measure of the canon which Christ distributed to him. He did not want to appear bigger than God intended him to be. Paul had no desire to be pastor of the entire world. All he wanted to do was be faithful to the calling God gave him. He was more concerned about the quality of what he did than the size of it. He was more concerned about the excellence of what he did than the success of it. He was more concerned about the depth of what he did than the breadth of it. Paul does not make wild self-congratulatory claims for himself. He does not want to show everybody all the great things that he has done. He speaks only of what Christ has done through him in the calling God gave him, which he supports with objective evidence. What Paul says is absolutely true. God had sovereignly designed and apportioned to him a measure. That is very important. God had given him a specific call and commission to fulfill, and he was content to labor in that calling from Christ his whole life. He was called to preach the gospel in the Gentile world, in unreached regions, and to establish churches and develop humble and godly ministers of Christ and faithful elders and deacons and believers. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. He was completely content to do that. In fact, he was overwhelmed at the privilege of serving his Savior. He did not need to be the Savior of the whole world or the pastor of the whole world. He did not need to be famous worldwide. He did not need to go beyond God's plan. And so he says, we do not boast beyond measure. We do not talk about things that have not happened, that are not true, and we stay within the measure of the canon or the calling which God apportioned or distributed to us. A measure which especially includes you. That is where we labor. True minister of the Lord Jesus Christ ministers faithfully where God calls him and leaves the impact, the breadth, the influence, the fruit to God. He gives the increase. A true minister of Christ knows where God has called him. He knows where God has placed him. He knows what the Lord wants him to do, and that is enough. In fact, that is more than enough. God can determine how far and how wide it goes. That is for him to do. But self-styled messiahs are always obsessed with delusions of their own power and their own importance. They want to conquer the world. If you get in their way, they want you removed. The Corinthians should have been able to see that the Apostle Paul was a true minister of Christ and the false apostles were not, because Paul was a simple, honest apostle who never said anything that was not true, who never claimed anything that did not happen, and who had no need to promote his own image and his own praise by an incessant drive to be more famous, more influential, more powerful, more well known. Even Jesus Christ himself did not boast beyond measure. Jesus served the Father. Jesus submitted to his Father's will. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Not only did Jesus come to do the will of the Father who sent him, but he came to do the Father's will in the Father's time. Several times Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. I only do the Father's will, only in the Father's time, and only for the Father's people. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 24, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 through 32, Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is saying, I'm only come to call those Jews who see their sin and their need for a physician for their soul. Jesus did not come to be a Roman governor. Jesus did not come to be a ruler of the Jews. No, Jesus came as God's anointed one, the great and final prophet, the great and final high priest, the great and final king, the great and final sacrifice for sin. Jesus called 12 disciples, many of whom were fishermen, who followed Jesus and learned from his ministry. One of them was a traitor, which reduced the disciples to 11. Those were the 11 whom Jesus sent out as apostles, with the addition of Matthias and of Paul, who through the foolishness of preaching Christ and him crucified, turned the world upside down. Jesus' ministry was limited by the measure of the Father's rule, by the Father's plan, by the work the Father gave Jesus to do, and by the sheep the Father gave to his Son in eternity. Such limits are frightening to those who want no limits on the sphere of their influence. The Apostle Paul followed the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did his Father's will in his Father's time, in the place the Father sent him, with those whom the Father gave him. The Corinthians should have seen that. How could they not see it? The Apostle Paul closes verse 13 with this little note. A measure which especially includes you. Part of the measure of the canon or the field of service which Christ distributed to me includes you in Corinth. My work, my calling includes preaching and teaching Christ in your town. I came all the way to Corinth because God had apportioned to me that measure. He had measured that out for me. And Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. This should be obvious. Christ sent Paul to Corinth to preach the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners there in that town and gather the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. That was God's plan. That was God's will. Have they forgotten that? Have they forgotten that the very existence of the church, their very salvation, was through the faithful, humble ministry of the Apostle Paul, who determined not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? He writes in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul had been the instrument of God in the saving of their souls through the preaching of the gospel. Paul was the instrument of God in building the church of God there in Corinth. To deny Paul's apostolic calling, to deny Paul's message, to deny his authority from the Lord Jesus Christ was to deny the will of God Himself, the plan of God, the purpose of God for the Apostle Paul and for his church in Corinth. Paul says, "We came to you in the measure of the canon, or the rule which God appointed us, measure which especially includes you." How can you recognize a humble minister of Christ? He's unwilling to compare himself with others because he only compares himself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he always falls short. He has a true view of himself and an overwhelming sense of his own inadequacy. The last thing he will do is elevate himself. And second, he is willing to limit his ministry and operate in the place and within the limits that God gives him. He is content to be where he is, where God has called him to serve. The true minister of Christ is not all about extending or exalting himself, but all about faithfully serving and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a minister who should be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer should be a true and humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Are you a true and a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you live to please the Lord Jesus Christ? To do His will, to honor Him, to obey Him, to love Him, to spread His fame, to spread His honor, to spread His glory, to bring the knowledge of Him to those in your life? That is the task. That is the life of every true believer. Or are you about yourself? Do you serve yourself? Please yourself? Do your own will and glory in yourself? Do you measure yourself by yourself instead of by Christ? Paul writes in the verses 17 and 18, the last two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." If you glory in yourself, God will destroy you forever in hell. I plead with you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can save you from yourself, from your sins, and give you eternal life. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of your servant Paul to the Corinthians and to us, to your church in all ages, that lay out for us in that humble way that we should never compare ourselves with ourselves or compare ourselves with other people, We should never be putting others down that we may exalt ourselves. But we should be humble, of low esteem for ourselves, and of great and high esteem for Christ, who has loved us and given himself for us on the cross. We thank you for such a great Savior. We thank you for such great salvation. We thank you for the wonderful privilege of being saved by your grace, of being called by your name, of being washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, of being joined to our Savior, Jesus Christ, being a member of your church, and of hearing the sound of the word of life, the preaching of Christ and him crucified. Where would we be without it? Father, we pray that you make us humble, true, faithful servants where you have put us, content to occupy but a little place, if you, O God, will be exalted and glorified in us and through us. And so, Father, we pray for faithful servants, faithful believers. Touch the hearts, transform the lives of those who are not faithful, of those who are too obsessed with themselves. Give us faithful, humble ministers of Christ. Remove those who are not. Build up your church. Call sinners to the Savior. We will give you all the praise and all the glory, for we glory only in you, O God, and in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.